can spend a little bit on some of these questions. Main questions, what are we going to do about the whales? Do we want to leave the GRC blockchain behind, run parallel, or interconnected to? That will probably be the good one for today. It's a good 25-minute conversation, probably. And then token generation event. Those are three big questions. And then the biggest question is the question of the what EVM-compatible blockchain we're going on to. And then a higher level philosophical discussion, or what are the potentials, things we can build or we can do once we're over on this new as a token, right? So y'all think that talking about the blockchain behind versus parallel versus interconnection is a good one?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll just start talking, cut me off. But I think none of us want to leave the blockchain behind. The three ways, I think we came up with three or four ways this can happen. One is when we do the airdrop on as a token, in order to claim those airdrop tokens, you have to burn your GRC, send your current GRC to a burn address. And by doing that, you'll confirm ownership of that token or of that currency and get the requisite token. That would kill the blockchain because you would be burning all the currency on the current chain. So we want to stay as far away from that as possible. I don't even think we need to talk about that option anymore. A second option is we essentially, the day before Levy posted that this might be a thing we do, we take the data from that day, the GRC in each wallet, the super block information, and that's our snapshot. And we use that snapshot to airdrop across a bunch of users, and that's it. So we now have a token and we now have the blockchain. And then all the tokenomics of the token are running independently from everything happening on the blockchain, and individuals can choose whether they want to run only the blockchain, only the token, or participate in both little networks.
Yep.
And then the third option is you have your token. We do something similar with the snapshot, but then the tokenomics of that token connect to the blockchain. So maybe we use an oracle, whether that's Link, whether that's Gelato, to scrape the information in the super block that includes things like magnitude. And then that information is imported into the contracts on the EVM chain, which then digests that information to distribute the token that's generated by that contract.
So those are the three options. I think that bucket three is really a superset of bucket two. So I think that at the end of the day, to get started on the token side, you're going to have to basically mirror off people's balances according to some generation rule. Call it an airdrop, right? But at the end of the day, you got to do something to get started on the token side. But so that three and two are common in that respect. I think the thing you're talking about with three, which I actually like, is you're actually letting the traditional blockchain effectively handle the sort of the basic super block, you know, what we call the basic Gridcoin layer, and then effectively just using that also on the token side, right? And that's a tie point between the two. That's actually quite interesting. And I think it's workable because I think the super blocks can be dependent upon, as long as we have good participation on the traditional blockchain side to secure the chain itself, I think that we can depend upon those super block contracts being very high integrity, right? So we could just basically suck those in on the token side and use those.
One of my concerns with
that might save us a little bit of work in terms of replicating all that on the token side.
That's a very good point.
Right.
One of my concerns with that approach, though, is that so one of the reasons people stake right now on the blockchain is to receive their earned research rewards. And if they no longer need to do that because we'll be taking the super block information and moving it to the token, which is where they earn their rewards, then the security of the network will decrease, and consequently the security of those super blocks will decrease. But at the same time, I'm saying this, I'm like, well, that assumes that an actor abandons the blockchain entirely and doesn't want to earn both rewards.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think the encouragement to keep people doing the traditional chain is we're still going to reward traditional GRC based on the same super block information. Right.
Yeah, so, and they'll still get their ERR.
What this becomes is like a dual mining setup with the same underlying information.
Oh, that's freaking novel. Okay. So you're dual mining Gridcoin.
Are you calling me on this?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I've ever seen this before. But you're dual mining your earned research rewards, but not the staking rewards, right?
Right. That's right. So the same accrual would basically apply because you're going to have the same magnitude report on each side, right? The accrual would accrue on both sides. Your staking architecture would be different, but the accrual would be exactly the same.
Yeah, and I imagine there will be a subset of people who do only participate in the token and only, and another subset that only participate in the blockchain. But I do think the vast majority, like people were dual mining Obyte for so long, or like a bunch of other things.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And by the way, dual mining GRC is with other coins is already a thing, right? I mean, we've got a number of people dual mining GRC and Curecoin, for example, because they're compatible with across folding at home.
I just love the idea of dual mining GRC with GRC.
I
love it.
I mean, we might lose some participation, but my guess is the leakage from the traditional blockchain chain won't be to such a degree that we have a worry about security. I mean, we've got extraordinarily high difficulty, quite frankly, for proof of stake coin. I mean, basically, our difficulty has been averaging 19 or 20, which, by the way, that's half of the total number, slightly less than half of the total number of coins ever generated or actually staking online at any one point. Think about that.
Yeah, that's kind of wild.
Considering
the amount that's been lost over the years, it's probably well over half of the
I think you can probably make a safe bet that 30% of the actual circulation is basically effectively toast, right? So, yeah, you're right. That's probably more like 60 or 65% of the realistic number. Yeah.
Lovey, what's your take?
Okay. Maybe that goes down to 40.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'd say, the most important thing, of course, is that the community agrees on it. Like, from my perspective, there's like a lot of different ways to do it. And I'm relatively agnostic as to how it's done. I have always been like, I think back in the day, I was suggesting something like having like a regular burn, like a periodic burn of the coins, not a periodic, but like an ongoing burn of the coins. Like, let's say you burn 5% of the total supply, like automatically, continuously every year or something. And then, that slowly counterbalances the initial inequality and distribution of the coins that was created originally. And then alternatively, increasing block rewards and so on. I mean, I do like the idea of keeping the original chain as the canonical, canonical chain, because there is something beautiful about it. It's like the 20-somethingth coin ever created or whatever. That's really incredible. The fact that it's still around. I mean, I would, if I had to guess, I mean, I don't know if there are any other ones around from that early on other than...
Were the sixth coin. Earliest coin that still exists?
Who's ahead of who else is there?
I don't remember, but I did just look this up here.
It's on Wikipedia. Peercoin was ahead of us, right? I think they were.
Okay. Yeah, and they still exist. Primecoin as well.
Yeah.
Primecoin is doing really interesting stuff, actually. Like, shout out to our OG homies. Like, holy shit. Yeah, they're still pumping.
Okay.
Like, pumping out stuff, not token pumping.
We are in rarefied company, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating. Okay, So, like, anyways, there's something beautiful about keeping it around, and I don't think it makes sense to get rid of it. To abandon the original blockchain. What is its new role?
I know we're sketching this and there's a lot of details, but effectively what we're talking about is a dual mine structure for, let's call it basic Gridcoin reward system, right? The actual accrual that we call our basic Gridcoin accrual with separate staking structures on each side. The two would be, we would kick off the token side by doing some sort of airdrop, and we'll have to figure out the rules for that later. But it probably be by basic address or by UTXO. We figure our address and balance what the airdrop would be. There'd be certain rules. But past that point, there'd be the concept on both sides of the CPIDs, and they would use common super blocks from the traditional chain, and the accruals would operate on both sides for that layer one. So that's common between the two. And so you effectively dual mine on layer one. It's actually layer two, I guess, but the idea would be on the token side only is where we'd implement all the fancy stuff we're talking about, which was benefactor contracts, all the other things that we're talking about doing.
Give us a sandbox of sorts to play with some really interesting economic potentials. And then, like, who knows, maybe we experiment with this economic stuff for a couple of years on the token. And in that point, the technology behind Bitcoin has caught up.
Yeah,
we can port it all back.
Put the EVM stuff back on the original chain, right? So the neat thing about this is this provides choice and flexibility. The downside is we have to continue maintaining the old chain. You know, that's not going to be zero maintenance. It does require effort to keep it up to date. But I think that's worth it at the end of the day.
And it also that gets mitigated a tiny bit. It is still C++, which there are a dwindling number of developers that work there. But if we succeed with the token, we're going to get one of the main goals of the token is to raise funds and get attention to our coin. So if we succeed in that, then we'll have money to pay for the maintenance of the core blockchain. And there will be an understanding that layer one is critical to the token.
That's right.
So there will be money.
We can take a small tithe of that funding and use it for maintenance of the original chain.
Yeah. And I do want to stress, I'm trying to be very careful about this because I hate the idea of anyone getting stuck into anything that has happened in previous cycles. Like, if we succeed, those are the outcomes. There's a good chance we do not succeed and we raise zero monies, get no attention, and like Gridcoin is in dire straits at that point, because like we said in that first recording, it's really difficult to maintain this project right now and particularly grow it, and there's about to be more projects around us, so we do want to succeed, but there's a chance we won't. Is there any reason not to do this? Is there like you said, we're sketching this, but is there a security flaw that's just kind of like we haven't looked at yet by running these things in parallel?
I really can't think of one. You've got some degree of concern around the Oracle, let's call it a double Oracle aspect of this, which is because, you know, effectively you've got the scrapers which create the super blocks, then you've got to have another mechanism to get that super block information from the traditional chain onto the token side. You're gonna have to do some thought on that, on how that's done with high integrity, because that's an Oracle process in and of itself. I think to me that's the only place where you got to worry a bit. But that's nothing like, you know, doing bridges. Do you know what I mean? Because we don't have to have like a counterparty with balances sitting somewhere to protect. Does that make sense, John? So it's we're talking about the same degree of risk here.
No, just for folks who don't fully remember what a bridge is. So if I want a bridge to Ethereum right now with Gridcoin, I would give a third party, let's call him Weber. I would give Weber all my GRC, and in return for that, Weber would give me back wrapped GRC, essentially. And then I would go be able to, it would be a token, and I would be able to use that in the Ethereum ecosystem. And then whenever I want to go back and interact with the GRC blockchain, I would give Weber back my wrapped GRC, and he would give me back the equivalence of GRC. And there's so much danger with that, involving liquidity primarily.
Yep, and somebody's got to hold that, and it's subject to theft, right? That's the problem. Someone hacks the bridge, you're dead meat. So, which is where a lot of the attacks have been. It's just very worrisome to secure that. But that, you know, we're not talking about that at all, because I think that airdrop architecture, and then sort of we run the accruals in parallel, allow the balances to independently evolve on both sides using the same accrual information. But after that point, they're effectively not bridged, right? And an airdrop is much, you don't have to protect it, quote unquote. As long as you did the calculations correctly and the rules are fair, it's a one-time event. I've been thinking about this quite a bit over the last week, as you can tell, John. I think it's quite fair.
I have a question for you then. If you've been thinking about this, so one of the ideas that was tossed around right in the beginning of this conversation, not this specific recording, but like talking about this tokenization thing, would the airdrop truly be a singular event, or would individuals over time be reclaiming new fresh airdrops out of the protocol? And I don't think they would.
We have our choice, right? We could do a number of different ways. There's a number of different ways to do it. I don't know what the right answer is on that.
I don't think they we would need to do it that way, because if we're just using magnitude, because if we just do the magnitude route. So we stake rewards go on the GRC blockchain and you don't get them as a token. Like what we're saying by dual incentivizing crunching is like, hey, you're going to get four contributing to point projects and computing projects for science. You get GRC on the blockchain and you get the GRC token, all based on that singular magnitude unit.
Yeah. Calculated one way to bootstrap this without an airdrop at all would be the following. So you basically associate an Ethereum-like address. You effectively register a beacon on the Ethereum side with an Ethereum address that associates to a CPID, just like the beacon on the traditional side. And since it's mapped to the same CID, it maps to the same accrual rate. Are you following me? And then you can just start accruing on the token side at the same accrual rate as you're doing on the traditional side.
Would truly bootstrap only crunchers.
That's exactly that's a no airdrop, literally start accruing from nothing approach.
Interesting. Okay. If we continue down this route, we're gonna start going into the airdrop question. And we only have 10 minutes left before Levy's gotta go. And
yeah, that conversation is much more. We wanna get into that tonight.
Yeah. But Levy, you were gonna say something?
Levy, what do you think about what we just talked about?
Yeah, I mean, there's basically like in terms of, I mean, there's a kind of like highly entangled questions of like security, economics, and then like the sociological aspect of what are people comfortable with. And then of course, like the risk of, if we, and I don't think we should do this, but if we were to like abandon the blockchain and then like, oh, it turns out, you know, there's all these like, there have been all these improvements to Bitcoin that can actually be retrofitted to Gridcoin that would enable us to, you know, run, you know, have tokens, basically sub-tokens on the Gridcoin blockchain, which would like enable a huge amount of possibilities. Like what I would like to see is more engagement from the community, if I'm going to be blunt. Because right now there's like five people here. It's like me, Jim.
Just on this call. I'll say there's been, I've seen names that I have never seen before posting on Reddit and in Discord, which is pretty exciting.
That is true. Yes, that's true. So there needs to be, like, in my opinion, like more of a deliberation process among like the not three of us, basically, because the three of us.
Let's lay this out then, how this is going, because I hear what you're saying. I don't think it's necessarily a thing yet, because we haven't even put out like a solid plan about the way these things usually work is like we'll chat through an idea and either we'll be like, ah, that's working, because when it comes down to it, Jim's going to be doing the development. I'm going to be doing a lot of the design. You're probably going to be doing some design, and it's like, okay, so we chat through an idea and we're like, yeah, this is worth time contributing, and then we put together, this is exactly how CBR works, for example, we put together an outline of like, hey, here's what we're thinking. And then we put that out to the community, and that's where the real discussion starts happening. So I think right now we're in those early discussion phases where we're kind of like, is this what we want to do?
Yeah, fair enough. So I think maybe...
By the way, it goes without saying, we are going to use the Gridcoin in-wallet voting mechanism to bootstrap community approval of this.
Yes, absolutely.
So we're going to run through a formal poll process at the end of the day on this thing.
Yeah, and I feel like also, by the way, I get the vibe that the whales realize that Gridcoin is not going to pump, right? Like this is, I think they're realizing like there's no.
We're going to construct this, Levy, so that the polls don't have any advantage or whatsoever on the token side of this, which is our way to break free of the grip of them on the token side, right? Yeah. So they get to keep their cake on the traditional chain side, although their influence is somewhat muted, and you know they have to start at, you know, at ground zero like everybody else on the new side. And by the way, I'm in a place where if we're going to do an airdrop, I'm not so sure I would give airdrop, you know, I'm not sure I would just parrot balances on the airdrop. But our airdrop rules need to really follow like crunching and magnitude more than like the balance side of things, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree, because
those are the people
providing value. So one thing I do want to say.
A lot of things that we really need an hour to talk about,
yeah.
Right?
So something that I would definitely say is, I feel like the next logical step is to write down what all the possibilities are, just to begin with. Not even commit to anything or even to propose them. But like,
no, we're not to that step yet. We'll get there.
We're not even there.
No, We have the core question. So we're recording these, and the conversation is happening. I have a decent memory, I think. But there will be a post that's kind of like, all right, here's what is possible. Here's what's practical. Here's what basically the three of us, and largely Jim and I, because you're advising this point, think is a good route. And that's where community discussion starts. And a lot of it gets torn apart and reassembled. For example, I know that Weber in particular has some reservations around shooting the whales, harvesting some ambergris. But I know other people do as well. I know I personally, I don't have the rigs that you have, Jim. I want my balance in some way represented in the new token. So, but I do not think it should be, like, I think there's a middle ground where we balance things out. And I proposed this early with the vest, where we ask whales to vest over a very long period of time. So they don't own the token in the beginning, but after like 10 years, they're now even with every token that's been generated.
Yeah, and by the way, that's not a bad thing. You know, our biggest challenge is like figuring out who the whales actually are. I know that sounds silly, but that's a big problem, right? Like, because again, determining correlation to unique individuals is a tough thing. It's easy when you got a CPID. It's hard when you just got addresses and UTXOs out there, right?
So. Yeah, so we can maybe take a page out of Gitcoin's early books, where the stronger your ability to identify an individual is, the more rewards you get. So you get more for having a CPID, but that doesn't mean you get nothing for not having a CPID.
That's an interesting approach. Yeah.
A passport.
So, anyway, we should probably reserve that
for
the next discussion, because that's getting into sort of like all that stuff. But
yes,
I think this is a pretty good 25 minutes.
Dude, I'm energized as well. The question today was the question of blockchain being left behind, the token of blockchain running parallel, or the token of blockchain interconnecting. And through the sketch that we just laid out, it sounds like everyone here, at least, and again, this is the Levy point, is basically me, Jim, and Levy said he's agnostic. So Jim and I think that interconnecting the two makes sense. It provides us the flexibility to change things in the future as the technology continues to develop, while also experimenting with some economic stuff in the token ecosystem at the same time. It lets us reward crunchers doubly, while also continuing to reward stakers, and maybe even rewarding oracles, like, because on the token contract, we can start rewarding oracles without much technical development. And there's a lot of potential there. Maintaining flexibility doesn't seem to be any immediate flaws. So let's call this, like, in pencil, settled in terms of the route we think is best. And please, this is the call to the community. Tell us why this is such a bad idea. And then for next week, maybe we talk about how the shift in terms of tokenomics would occur, like the whale problem and the airdrop solution.
Let's try and go over some different models on how that could work and how we could mitigate some of the problems that we've either had in the past or could potentially have in the future, right? So
cool. So you both are good for next week for like an hour?
I think I am. Well, hold on then.
Next week I can do. Wait.
Next week is Juneteenth, right? But I'm actually okay.
Let me see.
I'm actually okay at 5 o'clock next week. So.
So June. Okay. No, it looks like June 20th is when I probably wouldn't be able to do it. Yeah. So June.
Great. It's good if at all possible. It's good to keep these cadences going, just so we can notice that every week just show up.
All right.
So that's it. Topic next week is tokenomics, airdrop, whales.
All right, guys.
All right. Crash course. Thanks, guys. Thanks for your time.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.